Friends, there is such freedom and power in being thankful. I think more than we understand. And today, David in Psalm 103 is going to call us to remind ourselves of this very truth and call us to respond rightly to God. Years ago, I was walking across the plaza of the seminary I attended. I might have shared this at some point, but I was just a few steps behind one of my professors, and I was with a couple other guys, and it looked like he was mumbling to himself. Like, I could just see his lips were moving. We're kind of like, check out Professor so-and-so. When all of a sudden, verbally out loud, this is what we hear. Get back here, you vagabond! But he just kept walking. And we're like, what was that all about? So one of the braver of us asked him in class, you know, Professor so-and-so, what did you, why? He goes, oh, he goes, gentlemen, he goes, my soul often wanders from where it should be. He goes, and I was instructing it to get back in line in the goodness of God. According to that song, how many of you know your soul is prone to wander? And what a need we have to instruct our soul. And if we don't, and you know, the Bible talks about spiritual discipline. Discipline yourself for godliness, because it is in the instruction of our soul that we get to experience the best of the life God saved us for. And there is no greater area or need for instruction than this area of thanksgiving. In Psalm 103, particularly today in 1 through 5, David instructs his soul. And so my sermon title may sound a little wordy, but when I say, be thankful, soul, for all his benefits, I'm talking about the way you should be talking this morning. You're the one saying that. Something inside of us should be like, hey, soul, be thankful for what God has done for you. And that's our first point. Verses 1 and 2, this is what we read. Bless the Lord. I mean, how many of you have sung this chorus? You know, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. There's a lot of all-inclusive, comprehensive words in this. When Scripture gives you a verse that leaves nothing out, pay attention. Because it's trying to set you free. When it uses words like all or none and connects them with God. But it begins by saying we are to bless the Lord. That's our point. That's our purpose. We are to bless the Lord. Now, when we say bless you to somebody else, you know, we're not just talking about them sneezing. You know, but it makes sense when like, I would like to bless you. But let me ask you, how does a fallen creature like you bless God? Is he in need of anything? Is he lacking anything? So what are you doing when you bless the Lord? Truly, this word has so much to do with the idea of proclaiming thanksgiving. But it is so interesting because we're not giving God something he doesn't have. Or doesn't possess, well, then he possesses all things. You know, or no, what we're doing is we're actually returning to him what he's already abundantly provided. How does that work? How many of you are aware Christmas is coming? Any trembling at that? Like, oh, you still have time. But let me ask you, how many of you who, with small kids, how many of you have ever financed your own gift with your children? You ever train them that way? Mommy and daddy give you $5 and we go down to the dollar store and they pick out the gift that they want to give you. And what is amazing to me is like you've completely financed the gift you're going to receive. Now let me ask you, parent, did any of you, were you ever bothered by that on Christmas morning? Did your heart not kind of just swell up within you as your child, with their thought and their heart, returned to you what you already possessed, but now shaped through them? What do you think it is to bless the Lord? We are utterly dependent people. Amen? Some of you need to say that in the mirror many times, because we've forgotten it. And we don't realize that when God calls us to bless the Lord, oh my soul, it is to return to Him what He has already abundantly provided in spades. And God delights in this. Again, the language is absolutely comprehensive. It's a comprehensive call. All of me blessing all of who God is. It's what we were created to do. How many of you know this? I say it all the time. We were created to cheer. This is what you're hardwired to do. You were created to be a fan of the one who created you. One author wrote this: man was made to worship. He can't help but worship. All that remains is to see who or what he will give his worship to. How many of you know a little bit about being a fan? I was laughing. I'm going to call her out because yesterday this happened. Judy Dermer was sitting outside, basically making sure that Dave Dermer didn't fall off the roof when he was blowing out leaves. She was his accountability. I'm calling you out, Dave. He did a fabulous job, and he's here today and alive, so we're thankful. But in that conversation, she brought something up. Made me think of this moment. She was talking about how they were going to get home to watch the Michigan-Ohio State game. I'm sorry about that. But the best part was she said, oh yeah, the texts between the Ohio State fans this week, all the M's in every word were crossed out. Like anything that might reference Michigan was X'd out. Like just like serious fandom, okay? You know, we laugh about it, but I'm like, hey, how passionate are you about your God? Bless the Lord, oh my soul, all that's within me, be thankful to God. Give yourself to this primary task. And I do mean that, church. Your primary task, because listen to me, it is the task that sets you free. If you think thanks is optional, then you are a discouraged person. Because your mind is only on what you lack, not upon the God who has provided for you. And it's transformative. In fact, as we go into this, be thankful. Who is the object of our thanks? The object of our thanks is God Himself. Bless the Lord, period. Bless Yahweh, plus Jehovah. There is one person who is to occupy the totality of your thanks. And here's the problem. When we ask Christians, are you thankful? Yes, I'm thankful. What are you thankful for? Well, let me tell you what happened this week, and this happened. I'm thankful for that. But if that is the extent of your gratitude, and you are thankful for the positives, then you've missed the point. Your gratitude must be to God Himself. He is the object of this. And what it is telling you is that thanks is an avenue into relationship with your God. And if you don't have thanks, you don't know Him very well. You come to Him in your needs, but what have your needs taught you about God that you can't learn of Him in His name and the truth of who He is in Scripture? Notice what he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless His holy name. Anytime you hear the name of God in Scripture, it is not talking about a specific aspect. It is talking about the totality of who He is. How many of you have heard this? We trust in the name of the Lord our God. I trust in all that He is. Not just His justice, but His love. Not just His mercy, but His truth. In the totality of who He is. That's where our thanks must go. We are thankful to God for who He is. Again, if you leave anything else in this blank, praising of whatever, and you make them primary, you miss out. How many are thankful for your kids? all the time? Really? How many of you love being with family this week? The whole time? Yeah. Oh, you got to say yes. He's sitting next to you. I get it. Seriously, though, the truth is, when we make something less than our Savior God the object of our thanks, one, we put an incredible, impossible weight upon the object. Your kids were not meant to satisfy your soul. Your family was not. Your spouse was not. None of them are consistently perfect, righteous, true, and holy all the time. You can say amen, we're safe. Were they? So at some point, it is not wrong to be grateful to God for them, but they cannot become the object of your thanks. Here's the problem. Whatever is the object of your total thanks and your heart response, that is also your hope. How many of you know the weight of having to be somebody else's hope? It'll kill you in marriage. Kill you in relationships. And God says, I love you all. Amazing gifts. But you're not Him. He is the location. He is the one who is worthy. He is the unchanging, immutable God who never shifts, never changes. We hear this all. God is good all the time, all the time. God is good. And nobody else fits that category. So that is the object. But guess where God wants us to be thankful from? The location is our soul. The comprehensive location of our gratitude is our soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. When he uses this word soul, he's talking about your inmost being. He's talking about the genuine you. You at your core, who you really are. That's where God wants your gratitude and thanks to come from. What's the problem? Is that too many of us think of and allow thanks to become ritualistic within us. You know? Do you thank God? Yes, for my food every day. Good. That come from your soul? No, that comes from years of ingrained practice. You know, growing up as kids, well, and this is to this day, in our family, we have a family prayer. It was one of the first things I ever learned to say and memorize when I was, man, this before I was probably by the age of 3, I could do this. And I'd like to share the prayer with you. Here it is. Very simple. Father, we thank you for this food. Bless it to our use and unto thy service. For Jesus' sake, amen. Now, I can say that at Mach 4. Father, we thank you for this food. Bless it to our use and unto thy service. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let's eat. I have a huge extended family. They all have their own twists and versions of it. Some are like super fast. Some are overly drawn out. Some are like NSB. Some are King James only. I mean, there are versions of this thing. But can I tell you that I remember the way my grandfather prayed that prayer? And when he would gather us, let me tell you what the prayer sounded like. First of all, it was King James. He would slow down. He would pause. Father, we thank thee for this food. Bless it to our use and unto thy service. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let me ask you, which one was thanks from the soul? Thanks from the soul is a relationship with a living God that captures the idea that, Father, my Father, I thank you for providing for me this food. I mean, you're so good to me, God. Thank you for this food. Bless it, God. May it do what you want it to do. Bless it unto me and us to thy service. That I've been saved and set free to serve the living God. for Jesus' sake, for my Savior's sake today. Amen. What does your thanks look like? Is your thanks routine? It is not enough to sit there and go, oh yeah, I thank God all the time. From your soul, from the core of who you are, from a deep felt personal relationship with God, you say, oh, it should be enough just to be great. No. I'm thankful when kids learn how to say thank you to Jesus. It's good for them to pray for their food. Amen. Far better for them to know the God they pray to. The location has to come from our hearts. Why? Here's the danger, Matthew 15:8. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Did you come prepared from a heart to praise and thank God today? And that's an admonition from Scripture. We sing it, you know, Psalm 100 verse 4. Come into His presence with thanksgiving in your heart. Enter His courts with praise. It means that you have instructed your heart and engaged it in response. You've been proactive. I got to tell you this, friends. We are saved by grace. Everybody said, amen. So that we would grow to the glory of God. That we would take on this. He has saved us for the purpose of being like Christ. We can't do that in our own strength, but He's given us a Holy Spirit. So am I participating in instructing my own soul? God says, discipline yourself to godliness. That starts with thanksgiving. And that's an awesome place to start. It's like Jesus comes to us and says, I want you to work hard at what? Dessert. And all God's people said, oh, let me give you some incredible, joyous thing to do that's going to transform the way you live. It has to start with your heart. That's a good question. Well, what is the enemy to these things? Well, the comprehensive enemy is always this, forgetfulness. We sang it today. How many of you are prone to wander? Lord, I feel it. How many of you are excelling at forgetfulness? Any of you professional forgetters here? With the pastor. Here's the danger. When it says, and forget none of His benefits. When we forget, when we stop thanking God because we are overwhelmed by the needs that we are facing or the regular crush and pace of life, when we allow ourselves to forget, that means we are not bringing to mind what God has done on our behalf. Here's the danger. We open ourselves, and now listen to me, church. We open ourselves, and listen to this, and those in our care to the deception of the enemy. And this is what the enemy wants you to believe. God hasn't been good to you. God has left you in the scenario you're in. God is not aware of your heart. I'm not sure you can trust Him. Even if you were obedient, it probably wouldn't work out the way you want it. God, you know, what has He really done for you? And all the while He is just feeding the idolatry of your heart, which says, my schedule is the most important one in the world. To John be the glory, great things He has done. And He keeps pushing you further and away from satisfaction. And when we forget, purposefully tune out and stop reminding ourselves of thanks, we open ourselves that to just despair, because then it all becomes on our shoulders instead of the God who is God. I was a senior in high school and I was so checked out. Any of you ever check out your senior? You're just done. I'm done. Don't care. I was taking 2-hour lunch breaks. I ate everywhere in town but the cafeteria. You know, I was just like, I was done. Well, lo and behold, in my doneness, I had overlooked a massive project in the one class that if I didn't pass, It could keep me from graduating. It was like you had to pass it. And I found out it was literally the day of that this project was due. And it had a huge map section. And we had been taking notes for it for the whole class. And yet I had to collate all those notes and put them in a paper form. And it had to all be typed. And this is before computers. And this is back when there was ribbon correction. And all this stuff was going on. And so I came home and I was just like in an utter panic. I was more embarrassed that my parents might find out about it and see, because then I'd have to tell them why, and I was skipping. Anyway, it was a bad scenario, and I'm sitting there scrambling, laying out papers and being very diligent, which probably tipped my parents off something was wrong. And so my dad comes up and goes, like, son, what is happening? Dad, I totally blew it. I forgot this project, and now I got to do it. I'm just like, there's no way I'm going to be up till midnight. And he literally sits there, and he puts his hand on my shoulder. These are his words. My son, you have forgotten who I am and the resources at my disposal. He says, grab your notes and come with me. I take my folder. We go down to the church. Rochelle, she's one of those gals who can type like 1,000 words per minute. And literally, he walks in and goes, Rochelle, John has some notes. I'd like him to sit here with you. Would you help him collate and get those typed out? He's a little behind in a project. He's got to do some work tonight. But could you do this part of it for him? She's like, oh, yeah. She goes, so, John, let's sit down next to each other. Let's get our folder. And then she's just talking to me, and her fingers are like this. She's like, well, I think that's a great opening. It would maybe help if you put a punctuation button. Should we do that? Let's do that. You know, da-da-da-da. She's like, oh, let's format it. Here, paragraphs. Who knew? Well, it's a great idea. I love the way you're thinking about this. 20 minutes later, it's collated, it's got a title page, and it's been grammatically corrected. And she's like, you're going to do great, sweetie. And I'm like dumbfounded. I walk into my dad's office. He's just sitting in the corner smiling. He's like, you good? Thanks, Dad. Have you forgotten who your God is? Because some of you feel a lot later in the game than the night before the report being due. And you're consumed. You're crushed with your guilt about how you blew it and got into this place. And thanks is the last thing on your mind. You're over on survival mode. And you don't realize in survival mode, you kind of leave everybody and all those relationships on pause. And God wants you to be set free. And you say, how could God set me free in that moment? Work still has to be good. Who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Who holds together the world by the word of His power? Who has held every molecule of your body in place since the moment He brought you into existence? Who sacrificed His Son on your behalf and whose heart is tuned to yours at all times? Bless the Lord. Oh, my soul. All that's in me. Bless His holy name. Forget not His benefits. Why? As they far outweigh the burdens you're facing. The comprehensive enemy is forgetfulness. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, only give heed to yourselves and keep your soul diligently, so that you do not forget the things which your eyes have seen, and they do not depart from your heart all the days of your life, but make them known to your sons and to your grandsons. Friends, it is one thing for me to ask you, what is the condition of your thanks? But what is your condition of your thanks in the relationships you have? You know, sometimes the only things we'll share with our spouse is our stresses. How are you doing today? Oh, well, I got this going on. Oh, man, it's so heavy. When's the last time, guys, we walked in and just said, baby, God has been so good to us. Isn't He good? Because maybe her heart, which is carrying 5,000 domestic issues and relationships, it would be good for her to hear it. It can go both ways. With our children. God has been so good. Well, to forget not his benefits, you have to be aware of what they are. So let me give you a few. David does an awesome job, and he does, this is all a really cool grammatical chiastic structure, and ooh, I saw you like that. I saw somebody's like, ooh. I read it in a commentary. I don't even know what that means. It's awesome. No, I can't. He starts with this. We have to have an informed soul, okay? You got to have some ammunition to be thankful. And I think David starts with the most important point of your gratitude. I don't think there is a more important point than the one he starts with when he says he pardons and he heals. When he says, who pardons your iniquities. What has your God done for you? Friends, he may have left you in a tough spot financially. Maybe physically you are going through hardship. But the reality is you have been rescued by him through his forgiveness. Amen? The most significant issue going on in your life is the condition of your sin before a holy God. You are either under the burden of it or you are being set free from the burden of it. I love this too. He doesn't just say, hey, God forgave you. Some of you live like that happened on the cross and you've just been stockpiling indictment since. Who forgives, who pardons all your iniquity? How many of you are thankful for all? Because I kid you not, in a room this size, some of you think you fall into a special category of sinner. And that sin is sort of where you live beneath the surface. Just dogs you, condemns you, seems to push you out of the blessing category. I was a college pastor in Omaha for a brief time. Had a young man on my staff who's just one of those just sweet servants, showed up all the time. Just great young man. Was such a cool part of our staff. But it was so interesting to me that anytime we would get kind of deeper about him and God, he would go into like self-indictment mode. And I remember it was so bad, I pulled him into my office one day and I looked at him and I said, it's like you are determined that God will hate you. And he just began to weep. I said, what is it? What is the thing? And he tells me the story of being 11 years old and being exposed to his father's pornography collection. And being given unlimited access to the most disgusting stuff you ever saw. And then literally heaving, he says, because of that, I ended up molesting a family member. And he looks up at me and he goes, I can't be forgiven. And we wept together. And I looked him in the eyes. 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin, period. And I held him as he was crying and I said, just because you hear it, you have to begin to give yourself a cadence to believe it's true. And I challenged him, I said, every day we are going to begin, you are going to begin your life of reminding yourself of this truth. Your heart won't feel it, but you have got to give the Holy Spirit a chance to break this bondage. I said, you are not bigger than the cross. And you and I are sitting here needing Jesus together because of your sin. I said, this is hope. You're not done yet. 4 months later, to watch a man's countenance begin to believe that there is no sin that you can imagine that is greater than the love of Jesus Christ. Is it broken? Yes. How many of you are here broken? How many of you are messed up? Where does our thanks begin? That on the cross, Jesus Christ died for all my sin. And every day, I wake up and I start that day standing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Meaning what? Am I perfect? Am I like you? Do I have besetting sins that still trip me all the time? Yes, but they no longer define me. And they no longer say, today you don't get blessed. Today you can't be close to your kids. Today you can't do this. Today you're done. Oh no, you come back with this who pardons all my iniquities. Amen? And we are the people who are not perfect. We are being made perfect. We are being transformed daily. But where does that begin? Believing we've been given permission to be transformed. And the grace of God pours out in a shocking way when instead of the day we end up silent with our God, we open our mouths and we say, thank you, God, for the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank you today, Lord, that you have paid for my sin. And today, would you help me turn from it? Amen? That's worth 18 sermons, folks. That is the beginning of transformation when you are thankful for the pardon of God of the iniquity of your life. There is no special category of sinner. There is one amazing Savior. Amen? God pardons all of your sin. God heals all of your diseases. Now, when you read that, suddenly you're like, I'm limping. What are we talking about here? What do you mean you heal all of my diseases? Because obviously, He hasn't. I'm still facing them. I got a cold that, you know, can't. One of the things that happens is we often forget that this is a passage that was written in context. The issue for David is the condition of his soul. The condition of his soul. It doesn't mean that God doesn't heal. I mean, we said it in worship. God is healed. God rescues, God does miraculous things, but the point of this is more Deuteronomy 32, 39. See now that I am He, and there is no God beside me. It is I who put to death, and I give life. I have wounded, I have healed. There is no one who can deliver out of my hand. What's this point? God's got you. You're His, sovereignly. Everything that comes to you comes through His hand out of His eternal goodness which has been poured out on you in Jesus Christ. So when David says, who has healed all of my diseases, I truly believe he's digging deeper here and he's really referencing the healing of all of sin's deceptions and disappointments and the roadblocks to an abundant life with God. Friends, here's a theology lesson. I'll try to do it quick. The curse of sin is death. Amen? Death is more than a physical reality. It is a spiritual separation from God. Sickness, disease, all of these things are merely outward manifestations of the fall. They're consequences. But spiritual death and spiritual separation from God, that is the enemy. Not cancer. Spiritual death. But once God defeats that, and He defeats it on the cross through Christ, then everything is changed. The spiritual sort of soulish disease that robs us of joy, these things are defeated. Guilt is replaced by grace. Fear is replaced by confidence. Selfishness is replaced by service. And this rat race that everybody is in, this temporal reality of life is replaced by the value of eternity. We have eternity in Christ, which means that you may not feel good today, but you're going to feel good. Amen? All of that is changed. And we can handle it outwardly. We're wasting away. Can anybody say amen? You feel it? Yeah, but inwardly, I'm being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ day by day. And I know all the while that this perishable body will one day put on imperishable. I'm going to have sweet hair. No, this is glory, folks. Sin does not win. And the grace of God floods into us and it's poured out through the cross and the work of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Meaning what? That my sin and what it says and the indictments and the infirmities of these life, they have been dealt with forever. He forgives your sin. He heals all of the dysfunctions of sin. He lets you stand in the midst of broken in this world unafraid. And then he moves on. Because he's done that work in your life, he then does these two things. He redeems and he crowns. Who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. I love this word redeem. How many of you remember the story of Ruth in the Old Testament? We've been going through it. I mean, our youth could instruct us on this, because in the story of Ruth, Ruth is a Moabitess. Outside the covenant relationship with God, but she marries her husband. Shortly after that time, her husband dies. And she's left with just her mother-in-law. And her and Naomi, they come back from the plains of Moab and they arrive back at Bethlehem, but they have no hope and they have no future and they have no means of redeeming themselves. They are completely done. But God has a Boaz, who is the kinsman redeemer, the Goel, this word, who has the right, who has the relationship, and who has the means to buy them back and to give them a hope and to raise up life where no one else can. Guys, God redeems you from the pit. What is that? A futureless reality. Death, Gehenna, eternal separation. God says, I am buying you for myself, and I have done it through my blood on the cross. You've been bought with a price. You have been redeemed. You have been purchased. You're owned by God Himself. And then what I love about this, how many of you have one of those days where you feel like a really lousy purchase? Any of you here like me? I'm like, God, you did not get much for your money. And you just feel like failure and broken. And we all have those moments. You're like, I'm supposed to be walking with God. How can I? He crowns you with loving kindness. And this is a powerful word, friends. Loving kindness is the Hebrew word hesed. It is the word for the covenant love of God. It means that He crowns you with a relationship that is completely 100% guaranteed by Him no matter what. Period. And His promises to you cannot fail. His faithfulness to you can never be withdrawn. Certainly, can you struggle in your sin? Yes. Can you ever take yourself out of His hand? No. Can you ever stop yourself from having the eternal reality that He's promised? No. Can you ever have that bad a day? No. And you are crowned every day by the unending, faithful, eternal love of God. And we say amen to that. What does that mean? You're secure. Obamacare, Biden care. How many of you are ready for kingdom care? That wasn't even political. Believe me. I exist within the framework of something that the premiums have been paid for eternity. The deductible has been met once for all. And there will never be a re-upping of service for eternity. Come forward. Let's have a Serious. That is the joy. He crowns us with that. And He looks upon you as His beloved child. Why is this so important? Because, friends, if I gave you everything your heart desired right now and all the stuff you're worried about, and we met your financial need and we took care of your future and we checked all the boxes and da 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 and all that happened, It wouldn't satisfy you. Only the goodness of God on your behalf through Jesus satisfies you. It is only in this reckoning of what God has done in your life and what He has done on the basis He has forgiven you of your sin. He has put you in a relationship that cannot be taken with you. And it is the reminding of yours that transforms your experience. Verse 5, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like an eagle. How many of you don't feel youthful? What's the energy level of your life like? You say, well, my hip hurts, you know, arthritis. I don't know. Look, some of you are walking around depressed because your thankfulness meter is down here. Truly, what changes your outlook on life? What transforms? Is it dollars? Is it health? Is it the relationship? What changed that suddenly you are up for it? And you are passionate and engaged in life and thankful to God and hopeful in the gospel. What is that? Thanks for what God has done. And nothing else can do it. What I love is He says, this is what satisfies your years with good things. I want something that can satisfy me for the long haul. What about you? There's a problem with 5-hour energy drinks. They only last. Oh, church, deliver yourself from the Red Bull culture. From energy drink survival for little wins. It is not wrong to celebrate the deliverance of God. It is not wrong to have hope in momentary prayer requests. Those are all part of relationship. But joy is an attitude of thanks that constantly says, be thankful, oh my soul. And not just a little bit of me. God, just get all of me today. All that's within me. Bless your holy name. The last thing I would say to you is that this is what transforms us, church. This is what transforms us. Because when we adopt an attitude of thanks, you'll realize how hard it is to be thankful. And you're going to lean into the Holy Spirit. Oh, Holy Spirit, I need your help today to be grateful. How is this going to look, God? And all of these things pull us deeper into relationship. But I would give you this homework as we close today. Here's your homework. Don't often give out specific homework, but this is very specific. And if you don't obey it, you're in sin. No, you're not. You know, it's. But this is your opportunity. We need to be intentional about remembering. So what I would like you to do this week, and I'd love you to tell me about it if you'll do it, I'm gonna covenant with you that this is what I'm going to be doing this week, is that I want you to start, take 5 to 10 minutes. That may seem like a short amount of time, believe me. If you're not used to this, it might seem wrong. 5 to 10 minutes daily for the next week and express your thanks to God for what He has done for you. How committed do I want you to be to this? Well, next point. Do this before you bring up your needs. Do this before you bring up one request. Before you let yourself go there. And I know they're real. And I know they hurt. And I know they're important. But, oh friend, you need to get connected to the God who has been there every step of your life, forgiven your sins, is working in things, is faithful in you. What God has done for you far exceeds anything you have done for or against Him. Did you hear me? What He has done for you is beyond all that you've done for Him and all you've done against Him. And we are unleashed in gratitude. Do not think this comes like a light switch. We need a pattern of thanksgiving in our life to confront the very thing that God says He wants to confront. How many of you know you got a fleshly heart? How many of you know it's like the Rock of Gibraltar? It just doesn't want to move. It doesn't want to yield. It cannot stand against gratitude to your God. I'll close with this. There was a company the Reuben Conley Company. This was like 20 years ago. They handled subscriptions for several different magazines, and they had a massive printing error go on that they weren't aware of until it was too late. And what happened is, because of a malfunction, there was a rancher in Powder Bluff, Colorado, who received 9,734 notices that his subscription to National Geographic magazine had been canceled. I would have loved to see this. Boxes of... He immediately went down to the post office and paid for his subscription, and he added the note, "Send me the magazine, I give up." Let's barrage our souls with thanks. Because it may not be today, but I would wonder what God might unleash. Some of us are struggling for even the motivation to be obedient in certain areas. We fear our failure. We fear all these things. Oh, friend, we were never the issue in the first place. It was always our God. So let's begin by thanking Him. Amen? Let's pray. Oh, Father, on this Thanksgiving weekend, we thank You. And God, we want to do it with all of us. Lord, we thank You that You have forgiven our sin. We thank You that You've pardoned our iniquity. You've healed us. You crowned us with Your loving kindness. God, may we be this week engaged in the instruction of our soul to Your glory. Amen.